Good evening. Welcome to worship on this eve of the baptism of our Lord. Every year in the season of Epiphany, we have an opportunity to remember and to celebrate the baptism of Jesus as well as our own baptism. So tonight we light the Paschal candle, reminding us that Jesus is the light of the world, and in baptism, in daily living out of our baptism, he shines through you and through me as his light in this world. It's the season of Epiphany, and so it's the time of letting our light shine. I want to remind you of a couple of things. First of all, the audit committee will be meeting after worship this evening and reviewing our financial items, and that'll be getting us ready for our annual report at our annual meeting, which is on the 29th of January. Also, an update regarding the women's Bible study. As you know, there's been lots of cases of COVID going around, even people that have been fully vaccinated, etc. So we're using a little bit more caution, and we're wearing masks, and that's what we're encouraging people to do. And then the women won't meet until February. They're going to be taking the month of January off and allowing some of the COVID stuff to settle. The men will, however, the small group of us, will be meeting in the fellowship hall or in here this coming Wednesday at 11 o'clock. Also, regarding our Emmanuel covenants, the council approved 56 discipleship covenants. That's 49 adults and also 7 youth this past week, but there still is a few days left before we print the annual report. So if anyone you know has been thinking about saying, I'd like Emmanuel to be my church home, please let them know that there's still time to do that, to sign a covenant and to be a part of the congregation in 2022. I think those are the announcements that need to be highlighted. I would invite you then to rise as you are able for our opening song, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
And the Word was life.
And the life was the light of all people.
The Word became flesh and lived among us.
And we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth.
Our scripture song, Word of God, come down. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' baptism, you declared him to be your beloved Son and set him apart as your agent of grace for your creation. May we who are baptized into his life also be sent as agents of grace in your world through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Congregation may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
The first lesson is from Isaiah chapter 43, beginning with verse 1. Now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Soba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin, and alive to God in Christ Jesus. the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel verse is, "Arise, your life has come."
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, John preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated. I remind you that I'll be recording later tonight or first thing tomorrow a children's message entitled Calling Cards, and that will be for children to view with their parents or with their grandparents. Our sermon for tonight, Called by Name. The prophet Isaiah, our first reading for tonight, Isaiah 43, speaks on behalf of God. And Isaiah says, "Do not be afraid. I have called you by name. You belong to me. When you walk through fire, when you walk through raging waters, that threaten to consume and destroy, and fires as well, they can't harm you. They can't consume you. Because I, the Lord your God, am the Holy One of Israel." Isaiah, speaking on God's behalf, reminds us this day that we belong to Almighty God, not through our merit, but entirely because of Almighty God's mercy. It's mercy, it's not my merit. We belong to God. He says that we are his precious ones. And when something is precious, it's a keepsake, and you don't want to ever let go of it. God says, "I will do everything that is necessary to redeem you, to save you, and to keep you. You belong to me." Or in the words of our gospel reading for tonight, the voice that shouts with a whispering song, "You are my beloved child. With you, I am well pleased." You are my beloved child. You belong to me. I've adopted you. I've claimed you. I've called you. You belong to me, and I've placed my name upon you. We call that a christening. A christening literally means that you anoint, that you name, that you put into useful service. So in baptism, we are named. We are sheep of the Good Shepherd Jesus. We get the name above every name. In baptism, we receive God's name, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, named and claimed. And Martin Luther says, there is enough in baptism to study and to practice our whole life long. Enough to study and practice. How will they know? How will they recognize that you are a baptized child of God? How will the church recognize your baptism? How will the world recognize your baptism? We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. You see, the way we live out our baptism in daily life will be demonstrative, will be an illustration, if you will, a proclamation that God is our Father and that we belong to Him this day and forevermore. A number of years ago, there was a little 10-year-old boy, and I'm always intrigued by 10-year-olds. Part of it is I'm biased. I have two granddaughters that are both 10 years old, so I know what goes through the heads and the hearts of 10-year-olds. And this little boy's name is Cameron. A few years ago, Cameron had come from soccer practice, and he was a little sweaty. He was wearing his Cincinnati Reds baseball cap. He stopped by his church in Chicago, and his pastor was in her office. He knocked on the door, and he said, I have an important matter to discuss with you. She said, well, then come on in, Cameron. So Cameron came in to his pastor's office. He sat down, and they began to visit. And she said, so what is this important matter, Cameron? And Cameron said, I need to be baptized. You do, huh? The pastor said. So what brings this about? And Cameron said, well, my Sunday school teacher, she was talking about the baptism of Jesus. And then she said, how many of you have been baptized? And everyone in the class raised their hand. Except for me, Cameron said. Well, Cameron's pastor, she smiled a little bit and said, so you need to be baptized. Cameron says, yes. But do you want to get baptized just because everybody else is doing it? And Cameron looked at her and said, no. I want to be baptized because I want to belong to God. A 10-year-old theologian. I want to be baptized because I want to belong to God. I want to be His treasured possession, to be precious in His eyes, to live within that promising word of the Bible. Well, the pastor said, okay, how about this Sunday? And Cameron said, you mean in front of all the church people? He said, couldn't I just have a friend do it in the river? His pastor started to smile and laugh a little, and she said, well, what brings this idea to mind? And Cameron said, well, Jesus was baptized by his cousin, by John, in a river called the Jordan. Why can't I be baptized by a friend in a river? And his pastor then, she looked at him and said, but Cameron, if you did it that way, how would the church recognize your baptism? Let me show you something, Cameron. So the pastor, she grabs a stool. She's going to climb up on the stool and grab a little book about baptism off of her shelf. She's up there on the stool, and Cameron, before she can get down and respond to this boy, Cameron says, they would know by my new way of life. You see, this lady pastor, she suddenly realized she was in the presence of a 10-year-old theologian who understood deeply the treasure of holy baptism. They would know by the way I live my life. Martin Luther said there's enough in baptism to study and practice our whole life long. Martin Luther said that when it comes to baptism, we never say, I was, we always say, I am. You see, there's a big difference between the past tense and the present tense. A huge difference, in fact. When Luther was assaulted by despair or by doubt or by the demonic, devilish wiles of our old satanic fool, Luther would shout out, I am baptized, because Luther knew that he belonged to God and that God had placed not only a name but a brand, a claim upon him forever. I am, not I was, or maybe someday I will be, or let's just live under eternal uncertainty. No, Luther understood that baptism has daily implications, and that's what Cameron understood. So Luther in the Small Catechism writes, what does baptism mean for daily living? Or in the words of Paul, shall we sin all the more that grace may abound? What? Paul says, of course not, by no means. That's crazy. Only a lunatic would ask that kind of a question or exhibit that kind of behavior. What does baptism mean for daily living? Martin Luther writes, it means that my sinful self, with all of its evil deeds and desires, should be drowned through daily repentance, so that a new self should arise day after day after day. That's what Paul says in Romans 6, that we are buried and raised to new life, so that we might walk in newness of life. How will the church, how will the world recognize your baptism? They'll know we are Christians by our love. But love can be kind of a generic, white label commodity, at least in the world we live in, unless it has substance, unless it has Jesus. Then we know what love is. Greater love has no one than this, that a person laid on their life for a friend. Baptism means daily repentance so that a new self, a new creation, can arise and live with God in righteousness and purity forever. Now, we're celebrating, we're remembering tonight the baptism of our Lord. And how is it that we know that this is no trivial matter? Well, because it's in all four of the Gospels. It's called multiple attestations. In other words, when things are repeated in more than one Gospel, especially when it's in all four Gospels, you know that it's no small matter. It's essential. It's necessary. It's big time stuff. So in the Gospel of John, people are asking John the Baptist, why are you baptizing? And John says, well, it's really simple. I got a word from God. God says, you baptize, and I'm going to open the heavens, and the Spirit is going to descend like a dove, and the one on whom you see the dove, the Spirit, remain, is Messiah, is the Savior of the world. So John baptizes, and sure enough, it's Jesus on whom the Spirit descends and remains. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's the testimony. That's the witness of John the Baptist. And then in John chapter 3, Jesus has this nighttime conversation with a confused Nicodemus, and Jesus puts it right there. Unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot be saved. Well, that's what John says, the Gospel of John, about the baptism of Jesus. What about Matthew's Gospel? Well, Matthew, a member of the synoptic tradition, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Matthew says that the heavens were opened And the Spirit descended as a dove. And the voice proclaimed to all who were within listening, "This is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased." And sure enough, that's what starts the public ministry of Jesus. And how does Jesus' ministry end in the Gospel of Matthew? With the Great Commission. You see, the baptism of Jesus at the beginning, and then the Great Commission. Go baptize all people everywhere in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to keep my commandments. Baptism is important in the Gospel of Matthew. The baptism of our Lord and your baptism. Important to study, to remember, to celebrate, to practice. What about the Gospel of Mark? Well, in the Gospel of Mark, we hear a very similar message to what we hear in St. Matthew, except instead of the heavens being opened, they are ripped apart. In baptism, God rips apart that dividing wall of hostility that separates a sinful creation damned to hell for eternity from a righteous and holy God. And that separation is ripped apart, just like the temple curtain is when Jesus is crucified on the cross in Mark chapter 15. But this year, we're looking at the Gospel of Luke. So what does Luke say? Well, very similar to Matthew. The heavens were opened. But we find out something interesting in Luke's gospel. St. Luke tells us that John the Baptist had been locked up in prison because he spoke out against Herod, the fake king. But wait a minute, we say. If Herod is in prison, then who baptized Jesus? I don't think Luke put it there so that we can get in a quagmire about a detail. You see, Luke will say that the voice that speaks directly to Jesus, and instead of, "This is my beloved Son," he says, "You are my beloved Son. With you, first person, I am well pleased." And here's what I think, and I think I'm in good company, because 500 years ago, Martin Luther said the same thing in the Lord's Catechism. We know that it's not these human hands of a clergy person who makes baptism happen, effective. It's just the hands of a pastor. No, the one who baptized Jesus, you know the answer, was the Father. And the one who baptized you and gave you his name is the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. God is the one who baptizes, even though he allows us to use his water and his word to proclaim our salvation. Yes, there's enough in baptism to study and to practice our whole life long. But, the sinner says, the old Adam in rebellion, what's my contribution? I mean, I must have something to say. I must have something that I can do. Well, what exactly is it that you want to say? Now that you've been buried with Christ and raised to new life, what exactly is it that you want to say? You want to say, "Well, I have the freedom, don't I? To say no? To renounce my baptism?" How many of you were around in the days of All in the Family, Archie Bunker? Some of you remember those days? I was young, and my parents would sometimes watch All in the Family, Archie Bunker, quite a character, married to Edith. He had a daughter, and then his son-in-law was kind of unique. His name was Michael, but they called him Meathead. There was an episode on All in the Family where Michael and Archie's daughter had a baby girl. And so they're sitting in the living room, and Archie is sitting in the chair and saying, "So, what about baptism? When are you going to get that little baby girl baptized? You're going to get her baptized, right?" And Meathead looks at his father-in-law and says, "Well, actually, Archie, we've been talking about this, and we don't think that we're going to do that." And Archie says, "But you're baptized." And Meathead says, "Yes, but I renounced my baptism." And Archie, he says, "You what? I renounced my baptism." You see, Meathead's pretty proud of that. And so Archie looks at him and says, "So what? You can renounce your belly button, but it's still there. You can renounce your baptism, but it's still there. We think we got the freedom to put ourselves back in jail? What kind of freedom is that? Oh, we like to disguise it under free will, but it's captivity. It's what Martin Luther called the bondage of the will. Shall we sin all the more that now God has sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins? What kind of nonsense is that? What kind of a fool asked that question? Who in the world would think that they could, through their own willful action, renounce God as though somehow I, David Lloyd Stephenson, am more powerful than Almighty God? That I can, with my peasy little words, undo something that is spoken by Almighty God? Really? Yeah, go ahead and renounce your belly button. But it's still there. You see, when it comes to judgment, the question is, how have you lived? How have you lived your baptism? Have you been renouncing the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in thought, word, and deed? Or have you been renouncing the devil and all of his evil works and ways? Oh, there's a battle going on. That's why Luther says we got to be drowned every single day. That's why Isaiah, speaking for Almighty God, says, "And when you go through the waters, when you go through the waters, when you go through the waters, every single day, it sometimes wants to get the best of you. But it can't consume you." Did you hear it? Did you hear that promising word? That's what God is saying. He's going to put us to death and raise us to new life every day. Not because we deserve it. I don't have the merit. I'll tell you what I do have. I got the mercy. I'll tell you what you've got. You've got the mercy of Jesus Christ. And you've got a word that endures forever. And according to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, will not return empty. Will not return empty. During the years of Henry Ford, in the earlier days of the 1900s, Henry Ford had a plant in Michigan, Ford Motor Company. He had a plant over in Europe. There was a man, a machinist, who worked in Detroit, Michigan, for the Ford Motor Company. And he became a Christian. And he got baptized. And he knew that he needed to make restitution. He had, over the years, pilfered some tools. He had, over the years, pilfered some items from the company. And so he brought the parts and the tools back. And he went to his foreman and he said, I need to ask for your forgiveness. I've become a Christian. I am baptized. And I need to live in a new way. Will you forgive me? The foreman sent a telegram to Henry Ford over in Europe. And Henry Ford sent a telegram immediately back. And you know what Henry Ford said in that telegram? Dam up the Detroit River and baptize the whole cotton-picking city. Can you imagine what would happen, Henry Ford said, if an entire city, or state, or country, or world was baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and was in Christ, walking in newness of life. Walking in newness of life. Michael is a pastor. He has a member of his congregation named Robert. Robert is the kind of a guy that pastors love to have in their congregation. He's extremely gifted. He's willing to sacrifice. He just loves the Lord. And so Michael said, I was visiting with Robert one day, and I said, Robert, you need to know how much I appreciate the way you let your light shine for the praise of Jesus. The example, the mentorship, the leadership you give in this congregation, the sacrifices you make. I want you to know how grateful I am. And Robert looked at him and he said, but that wasn't always my story, Pastor. I was a real scoundrel. You see, growing up, I looked for trouble. And when I found big trouble, I looked for it twice. And then I met Elizabeth, and she became a friend. And she loved me even though I was a scoundrel. She kept loving me even though I didn't deserve any of it. And eventually Elizabeth and I got married. And I wanted to live my life in a way that would honor her love for me. I wanted to live my life in a way that would honor her love for me. And then Robert said to his pastor, I guess you could say Elizabeth loved me into loving. Elizabeth loved me into loving. Dear friends in Christ, remember that little 10-year-old Cameron? When he was asked the question, but how will the church recognize your baptism? How will the world see that you are a baptized child of God? By my new way of life. Yes, there's enough in baptism to study and practice our whole life long. Tonight we remember and celebrate the baptism of our Lord. Tonight we remember and celebrate the promising voice of God that speaks with a whisper, but with a loud shout as well. You are buried with Jesus and raised to new life. Walk in newness of life. They'll know you are Christians by your love. Walk in newness of life. Put it into practice. Epiphany. Let your light shine. Loved and to love it. By a God who will not let you go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we are able for our song of the day, Children of the Heavenly Father. In Christ, you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith.
Pray in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us.
In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Amen. Sisters and brothers, rejoice. Mend your ways. Encourage one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Please be seated. As you are able this day and in the days ahead, please share that reconciling love of God, the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ bestowed upon us daily. Share that with others as you let your light shine. I remind you also that for our offerings, we're not passing the baskets. We have a basket in the back, but there are many ways and different places that one chooses to give their tithes to the Lord. And so I thank you for remembering your baptism, and I thank you for generously supporting the holy work of God. Let's continue with our prayers.
Let us draw near to the throne of grace, offering prayer and supplication on behalf of the church, the world, and one another. Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing a tiny part of the mystery of the Trinity in the baptism of your beloved Son. Thank you for uniting us to him in the power of the heaven-descended dove. Thank you for naming us your beloved children in our own baptism. Give us grace to live lives well-pleasing to you. Let all of our thoughts, words, and deeds cry, "Glory, Lord, in your mercy."
Hear our prayer.
Bless your church throughout the world. Through it, let the world hear the thunder of your voice and know the beauty of your holiness. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Bestow your blessing on all who are baptized or who are reaffirming their baptismal promises. Stir up your spirit in them that they may be freed from sin, united to Christ, and named as your children forever. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Bless the people in the ministry of this congregation. Make us dead to sin and alive to you in Christ. Burn away the chaff from our hearts. Gather up and sanctify all that you have cleansed, and use us to share with family and neighbors the new life we have in our Savior. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for our country and for our world. Establish peace, concord, and righteousness among us. Keep watch over those who protect us. Bring healing to families and communities wounded by violence and fractured by injustice and hatred. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Say to all who suffer in mind, body, or spirit, "Do not fear, for I am with you," especially we name before you.
Our gracious Father, we pray for Deb Spitzer, for Debbie Vamha, for Elaine Jacobson, Barb Stephenson, for Sheldon Bieri, for Margaret Kwong. We pray this day, Lord, for all who are battling cancer, that you might give them your presence and your peace, and that you might heal them in accordance with your will. We pray for all who are battling COVID, who are grieving the loss of loved ones to this terrible disease. And we pray, Lord, that you would put an end to COVID, that you would protect your people from harm. Grant this, Lord, for these and for those that we name silently in our hearts.
Gather them from the far reaches of suffering and sorrow, restore them to all who love them, and remind them always that they are precious in your sight. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We remember before you our loved ones whom you have delivered from the waters of death. You have also called us by name and made us your own in baptism. Keep us united with Jesus, strengthen us by your Spirit to daily walk in the newness of his life. At the last, say to us and to all whom you name as your own, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Lord, in your mercy."
Hear our prayer.
Graciously hear and generously answer our prayers, dear Father, in accordance with your wisdom and mercy for us. We pray in the name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please rise for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our sending song, All Who Believe and Are Baptized. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.